Want to know our best-kept hosting secrets?
They're all inside our STR Must-Haves Master List, our secret weapon that continues to transform ordinary host into extraordinary host.
The Must-Haves Master List is a checklist that we've been perfecting for over 12 years.
Picture this: your guest checks into your short-term rental, and they're instantly wowed by the thoughtful touches and impeccable amenities. Why? Because you've got the TFE Must-Haves Master List by your side.
This checklist has all the insider secrets that even the best hosts didn't know they were missing.
We challenge you to take the checklist into your property today. See how many items you can mark off of this list. You didn't get them all? No worries. This is your chance to level up. So go to hostchecklist.com and grab your free copy. That's hostchecklist.com to download our coveted checklist today.
You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation
and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, we have welcomed thousands of guests from over 30 countries, earning us over $1 million and garnering us thousands of five-star reviews.
We love sharing creative ways for your listing to stand out, serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode, we will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry.
Or we will share our stories of our own experiences so you can implement actual improvements to your rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Before we dive into the content, let's hear a word from our sponsor.
Hosting hot tip. You know how we're always on the hunt for awesome pieces for our short-term rentals?
Well, we're going to let you in on our secret weapon. It is Manoan. They have steep discounts on over 100 top brands. Think Wayfair, Article, West Elm, Crate & Barrel, Pollywood, Parachute, Bello. The list goes on and on. But these discounts are for hosts and designers for hosts only.
I had my eye on this awesome coffee table from Wayfair, wanting to give our listing that wow factor, but you know us. We are all about having our numbers dialed in and staying budget friendly.
And that's where Manoan stepped in with an awesome discount. And here's the kicker. Becoming a member is totally free. Yes, I said free. F-R-E-E. No cost to join. No monthly membership. It is completely free. But these discounts are exclusive. You do have to be a host or a designer for hosts.
Once you're a member, all you have to do is head to their site, install their browser extension, which makes shopping so, so simple, and purchase and fill your shopping cart in just a few clicks. And it's not just furniture and decor. Restock your most used items anytime you need to refill your supply area.
Exactly. And the best part, again, no catch. There's no fees, nada. Just major discounts waiting for you. Being a Manoan member is like being a VIP host without breaking the bank.
So head on over to ManoanExperience.com. That's M-I-N-O-A-N experience.com, or just simply click the link in our show notes and sign up and let the savings begin. Welcome back for another great week. My name is Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant, and together we are
Thanks for Visiting. Let's kick off this episode like we do every week. That's sharing one of you, our listeners, who's using our hashtag on the gram, STR Share Sunday. If you use the hashtag, we will find you. We will look at your profile. We will say, oh, that's so cute. And then we'll share you here in the podcast to our entire email list, to Instagram on Sunday. Get it? So use the hashtag. Annette, who are we sharing this week?
This week we are sharing at Bluebird Day Cottage Marin. Ooh, that was a lot. Again, at Bluebird Day Cottage Marin. And I'm so cute. one thing, I don't know how they're doing this. I want them to teach me their ways. There is some sort of like amazing sunlight and shadows that it's woven throughout their entire feed. When you go to their Instagram, you'll see it, but it's the most amazing natural light infused with shadows from their garden and from things outside and things inside. Somehow they're capturing this. I'm sure it's with a lovely iPhone, but it's just giving me a mood, a vibe from the property. And I just have to give them kudos that, again, anyone, if you can document the process of you getting your short-term rental prepared, I think A, your guests will love it. And B, it's like a little personal album for you to look back on and see how far you've come. They did a really good job of documenting some of their before and afters and their progress. And they just created this amazing space for their guests. And I want to say kudos to them too, because they are doing carousels and reels throughout their entire feed. And they also have a carousel, which I thought was a great idea, where they're actually touring the home. So each carousel is actually a video, which I didn't even know you could do this, is a video. So each slide is a different room. And I thought that was genius. So well done, Bluebird Day Cottage Marin. Thank you for using the hashtag. And we cannot wait to share one of you next. And listeners, go give them some love, please.
All right. We have some announcements to make, everyone out there in the world.
I feel like you want to do announcements because one of our episodes we recorded today, the principal was going to get on the PA and make the announcements. And you said you missed those.
Anyone else gets so excited when like you got chosen by your principal to come to the principal's office, not for reasons because you were misbehaving, but because you got to do the morning announcements. If you feel me, let me know on Instagram.
Yeah, you got real excited. And I said, the principal might come over.
There's a certain brand of brown noser, and that was me / is me. But hey, I'm going to let my freak flag fly. That's always very hard to say. But no, we have some cool announcements to share. One of which is we've heard you all, and pricing your properties is a pain point. It is something that we never feel that we've really mastered, or everyone's talking about dynamic pricing, but that looks like the software looks like it might be hard to learn. How do I figure out what my base price should be? Like that set, not that set price, but the base price. Everything else that pricing is built off of during your high season and your low season. So what we have done here at Thanks for Visiting is we have connected with Price Labs, which that's a dynamic pricing software that we use in our hosting business. And we're partnering up the entire month of May and doing content around pricing pretty much across all of Thanks for Visiting. So
profit pricing with Price Labs in May. I just named it, Sarah. There
that's
you go.
So good.
Profit pricing with Price Labs in May.
So if you go to our website, we're going to have a banner right there before you have to do anything else. They're going to have a special offer for if you don't yet use dynamic pricing software. They will have a special offer for you to do that, to join them. If that's not something that you're ready to do, that's okay too. We are going to have some podcast episodes around pricing. We're going to be going live on Instagram and talking about pricing.
And the reason we're doing it for a full month, I have a new name now. It's Money Making May with Price Labs. So during Money Making May, the reason we're going to stay focused on it, I'm actually personally in a membership, and each month we do a focused month. Mm-hmm. So you can really go deep and make that your focus every single day. And we know as hosts, you are super busy, but let's make that Money Making May a priority. And we want to just continue to dig into pricing, because I can tell you this, pricing is something that is ever changing, but the more you understand it, the more money you truly are going to make. It can compound over time. So the efforts, this groundwork that you're putting in is going to compound over time. It's going to be awesome for you and your business.
Yes. And then, of course, as always, if you've got questions about pricing, May's the time to ask them. So slide into our DMs. You can email us.
Yeah,
we have a hosting hotline. Go to hostinghotline.com. Ask your questions about pricing. Let's talk about money in May.
Money making May.
Yeah. All right. Next up is today's episode, which was so fun to record.
It was a blast. Our guests are members of our Hosting Business Mastermind and have just really brought a lot of energy, a lot of transparency in how hard business can be, and growing and scaling and learning on the go. Have just been a great member and showing up to all the calls, sharing their advice, but also just being open to any sort of advice that we can give them too. And we just want to share their story. They are inspiring. They're just a joy to hang out with.
To give you a little bit of insight before we hop in, everybody, they own a motel, they own a boutique hotel, and they own and manage other people's vacation rentals.
And last but not least, a wedding venue.
Oh yeah.
If your head is spinning, so is ours.
Yeah.
But let's hear how they keep it all together.
Austin and Carly, welcome to the show.
Let's dig in, right?
Yeah. Take us back to, is there a time pre-hospitality? And then how does hospitality become a part of your story?
Everyday life.
Yes.
Well, I guess I'll start. I have been in hospitality for a very long time, just a different form of hospitality. I've been in the wedding business since I was pretty much 18. And so I've had a lot of experience with events, that sort of thing. And then we jumped into the motel business in 2019. And that's where it started, kind of our hospitality lodging gig we got going on.
Yeah. So. She actually studied hospitality in college. So she has a hospitality degree, worked at a hotel, but totally in events. And then I was in construction. So we kind of had things that could, you know, they make for good hospitality and for owning your own motel, short-term rental type business, but are not direct. And so combining those two has worked out pretty well for us starting in 2019. And the motel kind of came to be because of the wedding venue. We were living 2 hours from where we currently live in Durango, Colorado. And then we had a family place in Chama, New Mexico, up in the mountains. Carly actually told me on our first date we went on that she wanted to turn that place into a wedding venue. And so the motel came to be out of trying to figure out how to move to Chama to open the wedding venue business. So when we got married there, the owners of this motel had been trying to sell their property for 5 years, 5 or 7 years at this
seven
point.
7 years, I think, yeah.
And if you walked in the door, you got offered the motel.
I was going to say, what does trying to sell the motel mean? Just asking anybody that walked through the doors? Or was it on the market?
Yep. It technically was on the market, but not with a local realtor. Somewhat local, was an hour and a half.
I think it was off when we bought it.
Yeah, it was off the market when we bought it.
For 2 years, every time we saw them, they would ask us, so when are you going to buy it? And we were always like, heck no. We want no part of that business. We want nothing to do with it. And then we happened to be in town one night and they asked us again. And after a late night of a couple bottles of wine with her parents, we were like,
let's do it.
Let's see how much they want for it. They seem like they really want to sell it. And they threw us a deal and it seemed dumb to say no, is what it took for us to get into the business.
Mm-hmm.
We were like, we can buy a house and a business all in one. And so we moved in, you know, so we were able to move into the living quarters right behind the office. We're like, we can do it all in one purchase. So it makes sense. So we just went for it.
Did you have kids at this time?
No.
Oh, okay. I don't know if we could have done it.
But we were only married for not even a year
when we made this decision.
Ooh, so you guys are a honeymoon phase and went for it. Were you both working full-time jobs elsewhere at this point in time?
Yes.
Did you quit those jobs when you purchased this or did you keep a hold of the jobs?
I quit my job and Austin stayed working for about 5-6 months.
Yeah. I worked with her parents. We were building homes in Durango, so like semi-custom homes. So I worked for them until we moved into the motel January 1, 2019. Carly was starting the wedding venue business and the motel business all at the same time, and I'm building homes. And so I'm like, you just make all the decisions. Carly did everything initially. And I lived in Durango during the week and then drove 2 hours back to Chama for the weekends until about mid-June.
Around there. Mm-hmm.
And so I still work till then.
I need to understand though. It was no, I don't want to buy the motel. No, we're in the event business. No motel. I understand drinking a few glasses of wine and making a decision. I've been there many times.
Like ordering a pizza, not buying a motel.
Correct. Yeah. So like what were the dreams? What were you guys dreaming and scheming that night as to like why that would be a yes for you at that moment? Like, were you just hankering for a project? Like what? I understand it was a good deal and that you could live on the property. But I mean,
That's a big decision.
Yeah. So what were your hopes and dreams, I guess, for this property right before you bought it? Like, what did you dream it would become?
Basically, we needed something to get us to Chama full time.
Okay.
And so the wedding venue was definitely originally the main dream, the main reason to get us out there. And then we're like, well, how can we make it work? Because we can't just commute for 2 hours every time we need to show someone the property or anything like that.
And Chalma's super remote. So there's like no work. Like you can work for the county or you can...
There's a train.
A train, like a seasonal tourist train or like seasonal jobs, like working in the hunting industry. Other than that, there's like no full-time
really work. What's the population here?
1,000.
So who is the guest? Is it just the nearest?
All tourists.
Yeah. The nearest town is about another hour away too. And so, but we have the highest steam train in the United States or in North America. And it brings in 40, 50,000 people from all over the world every year.
Wow. Okay.
So there's actually a lot of motels in town. Like there's probably 10, maybe 12.
Oh, really? You got a competition then. So
we did, sort of.
Okay. Well, that night, did I hear you say your parents might have been drinking some of the wine?
My parents are partners in the motel with us.
Okay. Yeah. Is there paper and pen? Is there?
Are you running projections?
Because it sounds like you didn't even know the price.
So we did at the time. We did at the time that we sat down for dinner and the wine came out.
Okay.
We had the price and we had their P&L.
Which I would call
was one sheet. It was half a sheet. Everything, pen and paper, simple as simple can get.
No website.
It had a website, but you couldn't book online.
Okay.
It was like a one-page website. And so we're like, well, how accurate is this P&L?
They were like, we do about 30 or 40% more of this in cash.
And we're like, well, we can't really, that doesn't help us justify the purchase.
Oh my gosh. Right. Oh.
And so we had all this information and we're like, I don't know, but the price seems okay. It kind of seems like a good deal. And we woke up the next morning and went over there and said, let's do it.
Were they seller financing this or was it?
Yeah.
Okay. And can you give us a little bit of what the seller financing looked like and then how you did partner with your parents and or anybody else? Can you give us some of the numbers behind the deal?
It started out, they wanted about 50 to 60% down. And then her parents were going to provide the down. And then we were going to do the rest financed by them. Mm-hmm. It ended up being 66%. No, over 70. They wanted more than that down. After they went to go buy a house, and they're like, well, we need more down now.
Okay.
And so we ended up giving more down than initial. So it upped it like another 10%. And then they financed the remaining. So it ended up being about 70-30. 30% finance, 70% down. So that gives you an idea. It was a pretty good deal.
Right. Yeah. And what's the deal with your parents? Are they going to stay partners forever? Or did you have like a short amount of time that you're like, we're going to be partner with you and then pay them off? Or are they lifelong partners in it with you?
As of right now, lifelong.
Okay. We've offered to try to work out a deal to purchase it from them. And they're like, we're fine. They're basic. In the beginning, they were pretty hands-on. They helped a lot.
Yeah, they did a ton.
Like they're a big part of the remodel. Her parents own a pretty big construction business. So they're super helpful in providing labor and just knowledge. But now we tell them, hey, we're doing this. And they're like, sounds good. You got it.
Could you have done it? So there's a remodel. Was that from the, you knew when you were buying it, like we have to remodel that place. Was that a part of the plan originally? Or was it like we might not have the cash to do that?
Yes, both.
When we took over the property, it was fairly maintained. But as we said, they were trying to sell for maybe 7 years. And so a lot of maintenance had been forgotten about. And so we knew we would have to make changes at first or soon. But the first year we didn't do anything. We sold as is. And it was still fairly successful.
We also were like, we have no idea what we're doing. So if we remodel, like, what do we do? We were like, if we do it now, we're just going to waste money on things that we're going to realize down the road that like, oh, we didn't need that. Or why did we waste money there? Mm-hmm. So we waited a year, ran it as is. And it went pretty well for the most part. There are some things like we didn't have AC the first year. Our highs are in the high 70s, low 80s in the summer. So it's not too bad. But it's also a motel. So like people park right in front of their door. So if somebody's driving a diesel truck and they park in front of your door and you got your windows open at 6 a.m., you're smelling and listening. to that.
You went no AC the whole entire year. That's one thing that you...
We did. Okay. And that was the absolute first thing. We're like, we have to have AC by
next
summer.
I thought we waited 2 years.
We don't even remember at all.
Time flies when you're having fun.
So January 1, though, is this like... They wanted to get the... It sounds like they've been wanting to get out of here for a while. Was there, we will train you for 4 weeks. We're going to... It's a 2 week. You can have us on call. Or is it like, Austin and Carly, January 1, Happy New Year, Happy Motel, get after it. What's the transition period?
It's going to get funnier though, actually. So like, they're like, here's the keys to the office because we can't move into our house yet. So we're going to live here until March.
March?
So I lived in a hotel room for 2 months while they're in the house. And so then I'd go into the office during office hours and...
You can hear them in their
house.
You can
hear them talking and they can hear us like working up front. It was awkward, let's just say.
Were they helpful though? Like, hey, this guest, I don't know, it could be nice. Okay.
They were not helpful.
They didn't move out of the shop.
But they weren't like, they were ready to be done for
right,
sure.
That's
but
what
they, I mean, they really did try to give us as much help as they could offer.
Because they loved it. They wanted it to be successful.
They wanted it to continue to be ran well. And it just got to the point where we're like, okay, we just need to let me do our own thing. And so it was for those first 2 months, we basically just, I don't know, we'd start doing something and then I'd hear like a snide comment. And I'm like, well.
We didn't want to offend them either. Because like we said, they did take good care of it and they had a good reputation. People in town loved the place. It had good reviews.
A lot of repeat business. It was a great business for us to purchase. Uh-huh. And
so like we kept the name.
We kept the name. We waited until they were totally out to make any major changes. Because every little thing I did, sure. I could tell.
Yeah.
It was like...
It hurt. It just hurt.
I get that. And it's not that it's any of their business because you technically purchased it. But let's talk about the team. Did you inherit any of the team members?
Yes.
We did.
Okay. Was that a good experience? Or would you have liked to have started from the ground up?
No, it was good.
It was great because we took their systems because we had never been in this business before.
Right.
And so they had systems. Nothing was ever written. So I basically followed the housekeeping staff and took notes on.
So by team, the team was a housekeeping staff. Yeah. That was it. There's only 16 rooms. So everybody knows as well. It's fairly small.
Yeah, 16 rooms is still 16 rooms.
It's still a lot.
Yeah.
And so it was good having staff that was experienced because it definitely helped in the transition, gave us a little bit of insight. What worked really well, what didn't work, what they would like to see changes on, what they thought might make the place better. It was really good, but it didn't last super long because we did run things different. We wanted to up the level. We wanted to increase the quality. We wanted to increase everything, make it better. And so
they were just held more accountable. They kind of did their own thing. You know, the previous owners were tired, didn't want to do anything. So the housekeeping staff just really wasn't held accountable. Mm-hmm. They did a pretty good job overall.
They did a great job, but it just wasn't the right fit.
Yeah.
What is a housekeeping team for 16 rooms at a motel? Is that 4 people? Is that 8 people? And how
it's
how
been everywhere.
All over the place. We had 3 that we started with, but it was 1 full-time person and 2 part-time. And that was great for the winter, but we found out really quick in summer and in our busy season, we needed way more. Currently, we have 7. Wow. And it's 1 full-time and then a lot of part-time. Mm-hmm. Come summer, we'll probably turn 1 or 2 of the part-time employees into full-time.
And we'll add on with the vacation rentals that we now manage. So we're trying to supplement those housekeepers because we have a very, very good staff right now. Mm-hmm. And to try to bring them on full time, we're having them away from the motel to do housekeeping for some of the vacation rentals we manage to try to give them as many hours as we can.
That was my next question.
So somebody else can't steal them.
That was my next question. So you have the wedding, you have the event business, you have this motel. Mm-hmm. And then you just said you co-host for other people. When and why did you start that? It sounds like you've got your hands full. Plus, you got kiddos now.
Why don't you talk about adding on the vacation rentals and then also adding the boutique hotel? Just give
okay.
the timeline.
Okay.
So yeah. then they can be caught up to where we are today.
Yeah. Okay.
So we're talking a lot about 2019. Let's.
But 2019 yeah, so was just the motel, 16 rooms. You guys had never hosted
and
a guest.
In 2020.
In 2020. The wedding venue, was that up and running yet?
It was. 2019.
In 2019. Mm-hmm. So you were hosting weddings at that point in time.
Yes.
Too. Okay. Yes. Got it. So you, brides and overnight stays.
All right. So 2022 then. What? Yeah. What? When does it start getting more adventurous?
So 21. Somebody ends up talking to us at one of the small restaurants in town, said they're looking at real estate, wanting to buy a house. They're big train people. They come every year to ride the train all the time. Train people's a thing.
I know. I love these train people.
I was like, well, have you thought about like getting a house that you could rent on Airbnb? And they start asking me all these questions. And I was just kind of walking them through it. And this is actually when I started listening to your podcast. And I actually kind of started freaking out because we were closed for a long time at our motel, which was really nice for the remodel. But I started kind of panicking. I'm like, people are moving into short-term rentals. Like, is our hotel's like dying? And, you know, there was all that talk at that time, like late 20 and early 21. So these people call me the next week and they're like, so we're going to buy a bed and breakfast and we want you to run it. And we're like, no, no, we can't do that. But we just told them what we could do. Basically, so we got two houses right there off the bat. They bought this property that had a caretaker house and a bed and breakfast. We turned into a vacation rental. Then we did a small remodel for them as well. And then somebody was staying at our hotel, comes into the office, said they're buying a house, wanting to put it on Airbnb. And we're like, well, who's going to do it all for you? Carly's talking to him, but she's not the salesy one either. That's me. And they're like, well, would you guys do it? This place is beautiful. If you'll take care of it as good as like here, then we want you to do it. And I was pretty blunt. And I was just like, it's not mine, I'll be honest. So I won't take as good of care of it as this place. This is my baby. I won't do it as nice as my own, but yeah, we'll go for it. So 21, we did two different owners, three homes. And then 22, we added three, if not four.
I don't remember.
I don't know. It's doubled about every year over the last 3 years. So it went from three to six or seven. And then this summer, last summer was 11. And now it's not going to double this year. We might add a couple, but it'll be around 12.
Sarah.
What?
I want you to take a guess how much we are going to spend this year on Airbnb and Vrbo fees.
Oof. I feel like I should know this number off the top of my head.
It's okay. Just make a guess.
16, 17,000?
Wrong. Over $50,000.
What?
Yes. I'm on Hostly's direct bookings ROI calculator right now, and I plugged in our stats. And yes, based on the number of bookings we anticipate for this year, that's how much Airbnb is going to charge us for fees.
That's crazy.
I know. But I've got some good news for you. Since we use Hostly as our property management software, the calculator is letting us know if we continue to improve our direct booking strategy, we can save over $15,000 per year.
Wow, that is good news. Plus, we know this. When we make it our goal to improve our direct bookings with Hostly, we will have more control over our cancellation policies, guest database, and our overall branding differentiation in this crazy growing industry.
Yes. Plus our bottom line.
Yeah.
So listeners, please give Hostly's direct booking ROI calculator a try for yourself. And we bet you'll be excited to learn more about Hostly's award-winning property management software and their integrated, built-in, out-of-the-box, completely customizable direct booking site for your hosting business.
And thanks for visiting, listeners. Get $100 off when they use code TFV100 at checkout. That's right. Use code TFV100 when signing up for Hostly's property management software to get $100 off.
I want to share, Austin, you came to our membership about that time. And I just remember the first time on the call, you're like, I don't know. Just short-term rentals are so much different than motels. I know what I'm doing with motels. Like, I could feel the overwhelm. I think it was at that tipping point when you got to the 11.
Yep.
And you were like, these are two different beasts. And he was in the group asking a ton of questions and just very vulnerable that, like, they are very different. and you needed help.
Each house is a snowflake.
Yep.
11 homes. You guys say that, so I'm probably copying that from you. But the motel 16 rooms are relatively all the same. You just repeat the same thing every day. And so like, it doesn't matter how many homes we manage. We will never clean a house as much as we've cleaned those 16 hotel rooms.
Facts.
Like I could do with my eyes closed. Mm-hmm. And a house is so much harder. And so the systems are harder. We've bought an office because of that to store everything separately away. We were trying to do it together. But, and then, so as well, Carly shared with a boutique hotel. So we, her parents and another partner actually came to us because they were looking at buying a boutique store that had four rooms in downtown of our home that are very high end, really nice. It was kind of run half like somewhat bed and breakfasty, but not completely. Like, no, he offered breakfast vouchers to a restaurant. But
I like that style.
They came to us, they're like,
bed and breakfast vouchers. I'm here for it. I like
they were like, we want to buy the boutique downstairs, but we do not want to run the four rooms upstairs. Can we bring you guys in as partners to do that? And so we now run those four rooms downtown. So like in our town, we have a pretty high market share and we manage a little bit of everything, like drive up roadside motel, 12 vacation homes that can be small one bedroom apartment to on a 1600 acre ranch, like large cabin to high end hotel room. It's kind of all over the place.
We get this question often, so I would just love your take on this because your products are kind of different. Yes, it's all hospitality, but they're kind of different with the boutique hotel, the motel, the vacation rentals, and the event space. Do you have social media for all of these different things? Are they all under one hospitality group and they have their own brand? Explain to me, like, how do you communicate with someone who doesn't know you, what you do in your town and what you offer, and do they have their own identities?
We're actually working on this right now.
It feels like a mess right now.
I love
mess. Give it to us straight. We're trying to figure that out because it's definitely a huge growing pain. It's confusing. It's confusing for our guests. So we're trying to figure out the best way to do that, but it gets difficult when we have different partners and different businesses.
Mm.
So Austin and I own two of the four businesses. Like we are the sole owners of two of the four. And so that's the vacation rental management company and then the event venue. The operations of the venue. We don't own the property.
Gotcha.
And then the other two businesses we have partners in. And so it gets a little sticky. The wedding venue is totally separate, totally on its own.
That's Carly's bread and butter. I've kind of taken over the more lodging side of things. Like, so you're kind of asking this, like a wedding guest, they might call me and ask me a question about the wedding. And I'm just like, stop you right there. Don't even ask. I don't know.
Austin, you don't say it like that, do you? We're going to have to do some, because Carly, we got you.
Thank you.
I'm going to point you in the direction of my lovely wife.
Yes.
Okay.
Because I'm like,
build me up.
I'm like, I'm going to tell you something that is wrong and I'm going to get in trouble for it at home. And yeah, I know this.
We'll workshop this later. Hot seat. Turn that in.
So then they like, and people call her for the lodging and we're just like, nope. If you want questions about weddings, you talk to Carly. If you want questions about the hotel or lodging, talk to me.
Okay.
To try not to mix.
Right.
And so now we are working on trying to combine the motel, the vacation rental company, and the boutique hotel. Not necessarily combine, but we just change softwares to where we can have everything in one.
Mm. So you can showcase them all. So if someone comes on, they could book at the motel, they could book at the boutique hotel, they could book with one of your owners.
We don't have that part of it yet. That's in the future.
We could do that.
Okay.
This system is giving us the opportunity to do that, but it's also we're now able to see all of it on one screen.
Can you share what?
Yeah, we're using Guesty.
Okay. Great, and it's working well so far.
So far, we are in the thick of onboarding right now, and they are great for vacation rentals. They're great for the boutique hotel. They are not great for the motel, but they are the best we have seen from anywhere that can do all of it.
Yeah, I was going to say that's and a special.
So, you guys have a unique situation.
And I know some people who are trying to do all that in under one, and they have. Yeah, that's why I was curious because there are different, right? Because the motel, let's say you want a room. And it's like, I think like people like me are like, well, I want room number 7, but it doesn't have to work like that if they're all the same, right? Mm-hmm. You put them in the first available room. And so it's that technology that a lot of the PMSs that are built for short-term rentals can't really accommodate a motel.
Mm-hmm. I want to know, is there any more cash being exchanged? What happened with the cash?
The cash is all on the books now.
Okay. We have a manager at the motel now.
Yes, there are.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah, let's go through the team. So you're living at the motel by yourself. Like, I'm sorry, I do have just this motel. Like, I can see you, Carly. Like, it's 2 a.m. Someone comes up, they ring the bell. They want to get a room for the night. Does that really happen? Like, when you guys were living there? It does. So
yes.
How did that impact your life? You literally... I know you're in construction and you were already doing weddings, but you are now on the job 24/7. And not only on, like, mm-hmm. you're on the property. Did you ever turn off? Have you ever turned off since that January 1st, 2019? What was that like? How's that guest communication? You're right there all the time. It's not just texting somebody in the Airbnb, you know, it's like an app. You're face to face. What's mm-hmm. that like?
It was really good. And it was really bad at the same time, just depending on what was going on. But I think as new business owners and new people in the business, it was really great us living on site. We learned very quickly and we were in control of how we wanted the business to go. And so in every single aspect, yes, you're there all the time. So you're there all the time, even when you don't want to be, you're there. But at the same time, you're there. If there is an issue, you're there. It was definitely really difficult. And
there's a lot of crazy stories. We don't even remember most of them, honestly. Like, people have always been like, you guys need to write a book.
That late night check-in, that's a real thing. Like, I always know, they say, do you guys have a vacancy sign? And if the vacancy sign, or do you have no vacancy? Do you have a no vacancy neon? Yes, you really have a no vacancy neon. Love that. And you flip it on. But do people still come in and say, is there a room?
And they do.
How do
they would
you?
Ring the doorbell.
They ring the doorbell. What? So if you're sound
asleep.
So our house
was attached. Yes. Our house was attached to the front desk. And I don't know how many times we woke up just scared and jump out of bed, change our clothes really quick, and then get to the front desk.
Or they would call. Most of the time they'd ring the doorbell and call. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, they're good people who actually need help. A lot of it would be in snowstorms a lot. That would be a lot of them. But occasionally, you get people who you don't want. And so you judge them. Like, you look through the window without turning the lights on, you make a judgment call, and you decide whether to open the door or not.
It's pretty easy to tell.
If you were in alignment with the guest, and if you could accommodate them. Interesting. Yeah. Like, Carly, I'm just imagining you like getting out of your PJs, going in and like swiping someone's credit card. Like, so you will check people in at 2 a.m.
Yep.
I did it 90% of the time. You know, it's just like, I don't want my wife answering the door at 2 a.m.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Not a good look.
Now, you said you had a manager. Is a manager live there now? And how do you comp? I've always wondered, how do you compensate someone if you're giving them, or not giving them, you're providing housing? Is that part of the package? Okay.
Yep.
Yes.
When did you decide it's time to move out and leave the front desk and the home?
It mostly had to do with the wedding venue.
The wedding venue was growing too quickly. Not too quickly.
No, at the pace we wanted it to.
Quicker than we had anticipated.
All the businesses grew way faster than we expected. We expected to live in the motel for 5 years and for the wedding business to take 5 years to grow. We were basically closed half of 2020 and it still
took grew where we
3 years.
Yeah, 3 years.
Amazing. Okay.
Yeah.
So we did 16 weddings in 2021, lived at the motel and like running on fumes. And
we'd finish a wedding, finish cleaning up by 2 a.m. And then we'd be waking up at 8 o'clock to start cleaning rooms.
It's a full flip usually on a Sunday. So like,
it was a lot.
And so in like September, October is usually when we have the hardest time with employees too. So like there's a couple of those 16-room turns where we don't even have people.
We would stay and do laundry. I mean, we would be up doing laundry till about midnight.
Yeah.
And you have what I call probably like a talent puddle, not a pond or a lake or an ocean. Yeah, like a lot of places.
Tight.
It's small, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
we had our first daughter in 2020.
Yep.
And so we had lived in the motel for a little bit over... for about a year and a half. And we decided it was time just with our daughter, with
some of those late night calls that happened.
With the business, there was just it was all leading to it's time. And so we started our search in the winter of 22.
January 22.
And we got our first manager in there in February.
Yeah. And we went full commitment because we bought a house before we hired.
I like that.
We were like, we don't have a choice. Like we're backed into a corner. We did 16 weddings in 21. And then in 22, we had 26 booked. And we were like, we have to. We don't have a choice. And that kind of led to a not great hire. It was a good hire at the time.
It was a good hire at the time.
Okay.
And so they started in February or March of 22.
Yep.
And live-in manager, it's a couple with one older daughter.
Yep.
They're awesome.
Yeah. And you talk about this and you mentioned small talent pool. The lady who's now running it for us is a rock star. She's grown up, lived there her whole life in the town. Her daughter worked for us, who's now moved out. She graduated high school last year. That's how she found out about the job. Her daughter was working for us after graduation. Was like, Mom, they need a new manager.
I love that.
Jewel is her name now. She had actually in 2019, our first year in September, we're in the like our busy time for weddings and we have no housekeepers. And Jewel attends the wedding and she looks at, and we'd kind of become friends with her. And she looks at Carly at the wedding. She's like, Carly, you look terrible. I'm coming in tomorrow to clean.
So her and her sisters just showed up and said, how can we help?
Wow.
Can we clean a couple days for you?
And they got us through till the end of October, till the train ended. And then we're like, all right, we've done our thing. We're going back to our life. But for, about 6 weeks, they all stepped in and were like, you guys need help.
That's incredible.
And she's now a rock star manager.
She's awesome.
The day she came in, though, you're talking about the small talent pool again to bring it back.
Yeah.
She comes in the middle of summer. We're panicked. Like it's the middle of summer when we're trying to hire a new manager. We have one housekeeper when our manager's left. We're like, here we go again. And Jewel gets hired. Within 2 weeks, we have eight.
Wow. So she's like, she
knows people. She knows.
Yes. She made phone calls. I think we were starting to get a good reputation. We've always paid well. Mm-hmm. People wanted to work for us, but with Jewel, it was like sealed the deal. Like
she gave her stamp of approval. For you too.
Yeah.
I love that. We haven't mentioned it. And I want to just share it because I think it's a wonderful part of your story. Carly, can you share the wedding venue and how that, it was your dream, but I know you and Austin, it was built for your wedding, correct? So can you give us a little bit of that?
Because
I think it's really beautiful that you were like the first you were the first ones to get married there, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So my grandfather had this property. He bought it back in the 70s. Had the log home built in the 80s. And so I grew up always visiting Chama, loved it. And Austin says when we talked about on our first date or second date.
First date, she was like, my grandfather owns this property in Chama. It'll make the most beautiful wedding venue right on the river. And I'm living in Colorado at the time. I'm like, there ain't no way I'm ever moving to New Mexico. And the first time they took me down there, it's beautiful. It's up in the mountains. It looks just like Colorado. And the first time we drove down there when we were dating, I was like, when are we moving? Because this is heaven. It's beautiful.
Yeah. And so then we got engaged in 2017. And my parents had talked about building a barn on the property for a while. And our wedding was kind of the push to build it. So then Austin and my dad built this barn on the property, did the final touches the Wednesday before the wedding. And we had the first wedding in 2017 and then opened up for business in 2019.
How many of your wedding guests stay
at the motel and the rentals? Like, has that been a really nice, no pun intended, marriage between those businesses and being able to, you said it's remote, so I'm sure that helps for your bookings, correct?
Absolutely. It definitely does. And I think it helps that they know us, they trust us. And then
I think it makes those people feel comfortable, because a lot of times on the ranch, like on the wedding tours, people are like, it's south of town. And most of our people touring the wedding venue are coming from south. So they don't arrive in town and they're just like, we haven't seen a town.
Where's everybody
in an hour and
stay?
A half? Where are people going to stay? And so to offer that, and then, you know, people see the ranch and how beautiful it is. And they're like, well, if you guys own this, then we trust whatever else it is you guys are doing.
Oh, love that. And people can stay, like, how far is the wedding venue to the motel specifically?
4 miles.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, really close.
Which we all walk in a shuttle.
Yeah.
Oh, so you guys can do all the things.
How do you get paid? Is it, especially since there's different owners with different sections of the business, is it, does each business cut you a check? Are you salary? How's that working? Have you figured it out at this point?
Yeah. So all of our businesses are LLCs. And in the state of New Mexico, you actually can't be on payroll if you're an owner of the LLC.
Cannot? Is that what you said?
Cannot.
What? Mm-hmm.
You have to take a draw.
And so it's only a draw. Okay. And so the two businesses that we fully own are the two businesses that pay us, that basically pay our living wage.
So the ranch, the wedding venue, and then the vacation rental management.
And then the other businesses, we just kind of look at what the profit was at the end of the year and do a draw based on that. So
okay, interesting.
Yeah, everybody the same.
Yes. And so the two businesses that do pay us, it still comes out as an owner draw. It's not a salary or anything. So we have to save a lot of money for taxes.
It also depends. I will say in the past, it has depended on the year in which business we are choosing to grow.
Oh, that's a great point. Yeah.
Being, you know, yes, you're in the same city and you guys are in the same industry, but kind of serial entrepreneurs with all these different verticals within the space, that I imagine that being one of the hurdles you had to figure out. My next question is, there's a lot of talk right now in social media world about motels. And I feel like it's because we're getting out of the whole like post-COVID situation where short-term rentals and Airbnbs are incredible. You can do no wrong. You can buy in any market. It's so easy. And then, you know, it gets a little tougher. And like you said, you know, with the vacation rentals, every house is a snowflake. Every guest is a snowflake. The cleaning protocols are different. And so now there's a lot of talk about motels. And now that's the answer, right? Getting a motel and everything's the same. And so like now it's motels, like screw the short-term rentals. You guys do it all. What do you say? Like, is it all hard? Is it kind of like choose your hard? Is it, if you could buy another, what's your next purchase going to be because of what you know? I just feel like you guys are the source of truth when it comes to this, because you've done it all.
And I think we would preface with that is we have been in all of the businesses too. So I think there's a lot of fluff and, you know, motels are sparkly. They're fun. They're great. They're passive. They are not. You have to be in it. You have to really work it. And that has,
you have to have money or time. One of the two. If you have plenty of money, then you can buy one. You can pay somebody to do it all. But
if you don't, it's a lot of sweat, a lot of tears. And because of that, though, we would do a motel.
Okay, got it.
I think too, it's very market pending. Mm-hmm. Like it's very market determinant. Like in our market, we got a deal on the motel. I mean, we manage homes for people that are buying a home for almost the same price that we bought the motel. And our motel will do 15x in revenue.
Yeah.
So it's, I see those numbers and I'm like, it's, you know, it's no brainer. Mm-hmm. Hotel, motel, that's definitely what we've been talking a lot about it. And some of the people that we are now managing for are people that I do believe we could call to be like, hey, we're looking at buying such and such property. Do you want in?
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Because we started to build that reputation with our owners.
Mm-hmm. I bet. I feel like you're going to take over this town.
I know. We won't do any more in this town.
We're the market. Yeah, we're done.
Oh, that's interesting. my last question about division of time, of labor, you spoke to having full-time and part-time employees. My mind just goes to, okay, well, some of them are cleaning at the motel, and then they're going to go to the boutique hotel, then they're going to go to a vacation rental, and then heck, they might even go over to the wedding venue to help set up. How do you break down payroll for all of these different places? Or do you even have that?
You're going to have to ask us again in about 3 months.
Okay. You're not doing that yet. Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
That was part of the Guesty thing.
That was a part of Guesty, is we're trying to put it all on one system to where we can manage it all. And so we can scale the vacation rental business, because we just kind of felt stuck where we were. Mm-hmm. And we have all our employees for the motel. And there are some that only want to work there, which is great.
Okay.
And then there's a couple that are willing to go kind of bounce around. And then we have one, maybe two, that's only going to be for the vacation rental company.
Okay. And in the past, we've burned out employees because, like you said, it's so confusing. Mm-hmm. And they're just like, they feel like, well, I have no idea what I'm doing when I show up at work today.
They feel
like,
jerked around.
Right, you got two runs. Because we're running around like that when we live there. And so like you got two rooms out of the motel today. We need you to go here and clean this house. Like, I've never even been there.
Yeah.
Like, you can figure it out.
Yeah. Oh, my final question is, how is it working together? I mean, this, you guys have a lot of different businesses. It's small town, two kids. Like, what is that? Like, it sounds like when you guys got together originally, this was not part of the plan. You know, you had two separate jobs, but give us an insight into like, what is that like? Is it beautiful? Is it hard? Is it both? Just what can you offer to our listeners about this dynamic?
It's a lot easier now than it was when we started. From the get-go, though, you said like we're in the honeymoon phase and bought a motel. The house we moved into
was the remodel.
When we got married, we had one bedroom ready when we moved in, and then the rest was, you know, like a near gut remodel. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of been that way from day one.
It's just life.
And I think working together, I wouldn't have it any other way. There's days when we only, like, we see each other at breakfast and lunch, and we're like, what are you up to? I feel like I haven't talked to you all day. It's weird. And so I wouldn't have it any other way. There are days that I want to just smack them, but
I think we've kind of figured out our roles more. Like when we're at the wedding venue, like, she hates it when I tell people, but I'm like, I work here. Like, Carly's in charge. I work here. And it's yes, ma'am, what needs to be done. And I don't like being told what to do. Neither of us do. We're entrepreneurs. So that's usually where if we're getting on each other, it's usually like, I say, yes, I'm an employee at the ranch. And then I start giving my opinion. And she's like, just get it done.
You guys are cute.
So, but it's fun. We've learned things the hard way.
Definitely.
Too, but it's always been, I wouldn't do it any other way. It's so much fun. We're like, I can't imagine just like saying hi at the end of the day and bye in the morning and being like, all right, we get 4 or 5 hours and go to bed and do it again the next day.
Love that.
But I also know that it is not for everyone at all. And totally, that's totally fine. But
especially with our kids, it's cool. Like our kids they have been overexposed to our lifestyle. Like, we've cleaned rooms with babies on our chests. We'll set up the pack and play in the middle of the wedding venue while we're getting the wedding venue ready with guests there. And they're screaming and you just push through. But we're like, same thing with like Carly and I being together. Like, we spent so much more time with our kids than otherwise. So I can't imagine doing it another way.
No, me neither.
There's something really authentic about that. And you know, you say it's a family owned business and it's like, no, truly the whole family is here and we're doing everything to make it work. Where can our listeners reach out to you or find out about all the different things you got going on out there? Where's the best place to send them?
Probably our website.
Which one?
See, this is the tricky
part. It's okay.
We should have it all under one.
We'll give it all in the show notes, but yeah, name them off.
Yeah, just name them off.
Yeah,
we'll link them off.
Well, you got it. ChamaTrailsMotel.com. Instagram's also at ChamaTrailsMotel. Turquoise Antler Short Term Rentals. That's going to be ChamaVacationRentals.com.
That's a good URL. Okay.
And then the lofts at Sterling and Sage. That is Sterling and Sage.
Chama.com.
Sterling and Sage Chama.com. And then the wedding venue to wrap it all up is Log River Ranch and logriverranch.com, as well as Instagrams at Log River Ranch.
Hey, at least you got them.
Can you even wrap your mind around that? You guys built all this since 2019. It is only 2024. Can you
it's pretty amazing, but we also were given, we were blessed with so much to begin with.
And
definitely is not on our own.
And we also, like, these things didn't grow. Like, when we talk about 2021 and, like, those years of, like, staying up till 2 a.m., working the wedding venue, and then, you know, being up till midnight cleaning the motel, we were not growing at those times. But we have awesome people.
We have great people that work with us. Again, we were blessed with so much from the very beginning that that's the only reason why we are here where we are today.
Yeah.
I love that. No,
other people.
Yes.
And recognizing your network and those that support you is a huge part of that growth. But we are honored that you're in the Things for Wisdom community. So it's been a pleasure sharing your story today. And we cannot wait to see what you two accomplish just in this next year. You're going to get it all figured out. You're going to get somewhat organized, but there's always going to be something to do. That's the beauty of entrepreneurship. With that, I am Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant, and together we are
Thanks for visiting. Talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for additional information about today's episode. And please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week.
Can we make you a personalized podcast playlist?
Head on over to thehostquiz.com, answer 7 easy questions, and get a unique to your hosting biz playlist of Thanks for Visiting podcast episodes to help you smash your goals.
The action plan and strategies that will elevate your business is one quick quiz and a set of headphones away. Again, head to thehostquiz.com and take our quick hosting quiz today.